everybody. My name is Andrew Margonaut, and today we would like to share with you some results that we think can be used to improve the accuracy of enzyme assays in soils. This is part of a study that our team conducted to evaluate and also to quantify the sources of potential error in soil enzymes. And as it turns out, it seems like these sources of error can compromise the comparability of enzyme data among soils, even within the same study. Fortunately, we provide some suggestions on how these can be minimized. So we've heard today about two main methods from Dr. Deng about quantifying enzyme activities. One is fluorometric, one is colorimetric. I'm going to talk about the latter. So colorimetry uses a chromogenic proxy of enzyme activity known as paranitrophenol. And as we've heard, the way that this works is that PNP is ligated to a compound to produce an enzyme-specific bond. In the presence of the appropriate enzyme, this PNP bond, in this case phosphomonoester, is hydrolyzed, liberating PNP, which under high pH conditions can be quantified by absorbance because it turns a bright yellow color. Now, there are some issues with this assay when it is applied to soils, because as we heard in the intro, this assay was developed in 1939 for blood samples in which there's no minerals and there's a minor organic component. In its application to soils, we have two issues that both arise from this final termination step, which, as the name implies, is how you end the assay, typically by adding a flocculant and a base. Now, the first issue that comes out of the termination step is that of DOM interference, so dissolved organic matter, which can interfere with the absorbance. This occurs because the use of base, typically or classically sodium hydroxide, will co-extract out DOM, and this can contribute to absorbance at 410, and as a result, you might be overestimating enzyme activity. There is an opposite issue in which you might underestimate activity, and this arises also from termination if there is incomplete recovery of PNP that was liberated by the enzyme. This can come about because PNP is a non-specific binder of soil, minerals, and organic matter. So PNP that is released may stay behind, and as a result, you're not fully accounting for all of the enzyme activity via the PNP proxy. Now, furthermore, we expect there to be a trade-off between these two potential artifacts. If you try to decrease the strength of the base or the concentration, you might minimize DOM, okay, but you may not recover as much PNP because that base is also acting to recover or co-extract out your proxy of enzyme activity. There's a third issue, though, and this happens well before the termination step, probably when you're in your office thinking about what substrate concentration to use. So the third issue with these colorimetric assays, and potentially the fluorometric ones as well, has to do with the fact that as you increase the concentration of substrate in an assay, the activity of enzymes will increase, but up to a certain point. And this point is known as the Vmax in terms of activity, so the maximum velocity, how fast can that enzyme catalyze? Or in terms of the substrate, this is also known as the substrate saturation. Now, this is important because enzyme activity at Vmax will be independent of how much substrate you happen to add to your assay. It is, in that sense, this inherent measurement of how fast can an enzyme possibly go. So here is why this matters for the comparability of data. To give an analogy, suppose that you have a sports car in my 1990s Honda. If you were to race them, but you impose a speed limit of 40 miles per hour, you would not see these two cars pull apart. They would be at the same velocity. If you got on the Autobahn and there's no speed limit and you let them go at it, obviously my Honda would outstrip the sports car, right? And this is because we're removing this limitation to their maximum velocity. And so just as with this example of two cars, so it is with enzymes, that we want to push them to their maximum to manifest any inherent differences in how fast can they catalyze. So the way that we achieve this typically is by following the 5 times Km rule of thumb. What is Km? Km is the concentration of substrate at which we have half of the maximum activity or velocity of an enzyme. In a canon of soil biochemistry is that you use 5 times the Km. typically, to achieve a sub or near Vmax substrate condition. So the objectives of our study were to really get a handle on these three sources of error, to quantify them, to understand, well, how bad can DOM interference be? How much can it throw off your enzyme activities? Same for PNP. Since these two sources of error, DOM and PNP, occur in the termination step, we looked at four different kinds of terminations. The first is that classical method of Tabatabai developed in 1969, with the use of a strong base at the highest concentration of these four methods. The other three methods are alternatives that were designed to decrease DOM interference, and two of these have been published. The second objective was to address this issue of what happens if we violate the rule of thumb of 5 times KM? How much does it compromise the comparability of soil enzyme activity data? So with that, we decided to use phosphomonoesterase as a model enzyme, and we measured it across these different conditions for 12 soils. Now, these 12 soils, they represent a diversity of soil properties and types. They represent 6 of the total soil orders, and they encompass gradients of soil properties that are relevant to DOM and PNP artifacts, namely a 4-fold carbon gradient and a 10-fold clay gradient. They also have about an order of magnitude difference in phosphatase activity, so it's a good model set to work with to test these methods. So what did we find? Our first error of DOM, we found that varied by the termination method, and that this was specific to the soil. So what that means is that for some soils, like the one shown in red, there's a very strong effect of DOM depending on how much base and flocculant you add to end that assay. So in the classical method of Tabatabai for this red soil, we saw that there was an overall high magnitude as well as variability in the extent to which DOM can interfere with the readings. Now, to point something out, the units of DOM interference here are being shown in PNP equivalents. In other words, the micromole of PNP released per gram soil per hour, the same units as enzyme activities. Now, this matters because, as many of you know who have measured enzyme activities, sometimes the total activity of phosphatase is 1, right? So this is a pretty severe magnitude of interference for this soil type. But for these other termination methods for that same soil, we found a very low amount of DOM interference. So again, strong termination specificity. However, for some other soils, we found no real effect of the termination method. And that would be shown by the other extreme of the soil in purple, in which there is overall lower but consistent bi-termination DOM interference. And this is also shown by the two orders of magnitude difference in the F statistic. When we consider the 12 soils, we find a similar trend. And that's, first of all, that we're, as hypothesized, overestimating enzyme activities due to DOM. And again, that the greatest magnitude and variability of DOM occurs for the termination by Tabatabai, the classical method. Whereas these alternatives have much lower levels that range from about 0% to 25% overestimation of phosphatase. In contrast, we saw up to 350% overestimation for some soils that were terminated with the 0.5 molar hydroxide. And I'll say that our three endosols all showed the highest amount of interference at 350, 250, and 77%. So that's DOM. What about the second error that occurs in the termination step, the one of incomplete PNP recovery? Well, the overall story here is about the same, and that's that the extent of PNP not being fully captured depends on the termination method, and this in turn is specific to soil type. However, you'll notice that the variability overall is different from DOM. So there's more constrained error from PNP not being fully accounted for among different soil types. So again, in the high end of interference, we have this red soil, and we see that there is overall less apparent enzyme activity for these alternative methods that use weaker bases to extract it. Whereas for the purple soil, there's not so much difference. Again, when we consider the 12 soils, we find this theme of underestimating enzyme activities due to not fully recovering all of the PNP. But we also noticed the trade-off that we had pointed out. And that trade-off is that though we have more DOM interference due to termination with the classical Tabatabai termination, we get more recovery of PNP. So using a lot of a strong base co-extracts DOM, sure, but you do capture more of the PNP that was liberated by the enzyme. In contrast, methods that try to avoid DOM by decreasing the strength and the concentration or the flocculant of that termination, they can reduce DOM, but they risk incomplete accounting of the PNP. So again, underestimation. What about this canon of biochemistry of 5 times Km? So I'll say that for our 12 soils, we had almost a seven-fold scale of Km values. So Km varied by 6.8 times. And this, I think, has two implications. First, if we're basing the amount of substrate to use on Km, and 12 soils can vary in Km by sevenfold, I don't think it makes too much sense to recommend one single concentration of substrate across the board for any soil. A second implication is that if we do the math on what 5 times Km would entail, that would mean that we should be adding from 5 to about 34 millimole of substrate for phosphatase. Now, the reason why this matters, look at this graph right here, shown in gray is the commonly used range of substrate concentration for phosphatase. And on the high end, it tends to go no more than 10 millimolar. And we're finding that we might be needing to go up to 35 for some soils, just in this small sample set. But the question persists, how much does this compromise the comparability of enzyme data? Well, we found that in general, the more substrate that we used, the closer that we got to Vmax, as recommended and as hypothesized, we had improved sensitivity to differences in enzyme activities. So for example, if we run these three soils at the lower end of what is commonly used of 2 millimolar, we found no significant differences among the three soils and their phosphatase activity. If we go to the high end, we now see some significant differences between the top two and the bottom. It's only once we extend out to the recommended range of about 34 millimolar for these soils that we find that there are in fact significant differences among phosphatase activities. Again, the sports car and the Honda being pushed to their maximum velocities. So, based on this, I think we can say a couple things. By quantifying the supposed but not quite tractable sources of error of DOM interference and incomplete PNP recovery, we were able to conclude, unfortunately, that they can throw off the accuracy of enzyme activities. In general, we will overestimate activity due to DOM being co-extracted, and we will underestimate activity due to not all of the PNP proxy being captured. Finally, the range of substrate concentrations, at least for phosphatases, are likely not appropriate for many soils. They're undershooting the amount of substrate necessary to obtain conditions of Vmax. So what we suggest is the following, in order of priority. First, it makes sense that we should be increasing substrate concentrations to approach Vmax. We should be at Vmax, not sub Vmax. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, because this means that we would need to empirically determine the Km for every soil, which means increasing the number of assays run by an order of magnitude if you need seven or eight different concentrations to populate that saturation curve. I know. The second step that we suggest is for the kind of soil properties that were captured by this sample set. Termination with the method developed by Schneider 17 years ago is the best trade-off for these sources of artifact, namely minimizing DOM and trying to maximize the recovery of PNP. So a little bit less of the sodium hydroxide and quadruple the amount of flocculant that is typically used. And finally, of course, we suggest that one still corrects for the incomplete recovery of PNP and for potential interference by co-extracted DOM. So with that, I'll take any questions. Yes?
Which method do you use, bench scale or microplate?
This is bench scale. Yes. Okay. Old school.
I'm a little bit surprised because the author of this protocol, he actually used 10 times of Km, not 5 times.
Hmm. So he developed the KM empirical?
Yeah, if you look at his later paper, it's all KM quantified and 10 times KM.
So on that note, here's a figure that we put together, extra slides. The first Tabatabai paper in 1969, is that the one that you're referring to?
Oh, that's not an enzyme method. That's just okay. The quantification of phenylephrine. There's no enzyme involved. It's just that you can recover it quantitatively. 69 paper. It's just end product. That's quantitative.
I see. Yeah. So you're talking about when he quantified the KM?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for methods, like specific enzyme assay methods, mm-hmm. he used 10 times the KM.
Okay.
Anyway, just curious.
Sure. So I think that's an important point then, is that for some soils, you can achieve 10 times KM with the recommended final concentration of 5.
It's possible he used mostly agricultural soils. So you work with forest soil has much higher activity, then maybe you can consume the substrate. Otherwise, the idea is substrate is saturated.
Right.
Yes. To counter-argue, here's some data on these soils from the forest. And we have levels for some of these soils that are less than 1 micromole per gram per hour, which are comparable to some ag soils.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally agree with you that there's so much variability in soil types because of land use that perhaps for some soils that commonly used range of up to 10 millimole per gram soil is sufficient to achieve Vmax, and for some it might not be. So again, that soil-by-soil empirical determination might be in order. Since we're out of time.
Yeah, because of time, we need to stop in more power.
Yep.